We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Metro Church. We hope this inspiring message will empower and enrich your life.
One of the most asked questions a pastor gets over the years is also the hardest one to answer. And that's exactly why I'm trying to teach on it today, why I'm going to take a moment to really dig into it today. The question is this: how do I know when God is speaking to me? How can I decipher and decode what God is trying to say and what I must potentially just be thinking? What's the difference between God and me? Anyone ever thought that? Well, today I want to kind of dig into you. The message will be called, God, Is That You? Learning how God speaks. So, the amount of times I've wondered in my life, God, if that's you, could you just speak a little louder? Anyone ever been there? You know, Lord, you own the whole universe. Don't you at least have a megaphone? Phone. Some of us need it. The amount of times I would just say, God, if I knew that was you, I'd already be five steps ahead. But there's this reluctancy. God, is that you or was that me? God shows us so many amazing ways that he's communicated through time and how he still does communicate. Our God is amazingly creative. A lot of times people say, man, those lights, they don't look cheap. Would you invest in those? Well, first of all, if you knew how we warehouse these things in someone's basement, it's unbelievable. Every one of these were soldered by hand. You kidding me? It's called servers. The servants of the house wanting to make the house better. But why do I even bring that up? Basically, what they're saying is, hey, why do you spend so much time and energy and finance to come across creative? And I say, because we serve the most creative God, the only God, the one that created galaxies that we hope to see through a little tiny telescope, the God that thought of things that we would never see just because he wanted to see it. The God that is so creative, he has very creative and unique ways to speak to us. See, what happens is we go, sometimes how many can just honestly say we understand we have tiny, itty bitty, little pea brains? Some of those itty bitty, wee little pea brains have a massive amounts of education. Major papers hanging on the wall. They have studied and learned. But the minute we take our educated brains and try and put God in the box, we've made an uneducated decision. See, our God is so creative, he's not going to do things the same way all the time, and he's definitely not going to do it the same way you expect him to do it all the time because he's too creative. What if you told an artist they could only ever paint one picture? What if you said, hey, I personally love Starry Nights, and so if you could just Van Gogh over and over and over again, always, that's all I want from you. How many think that's going to put the artist in the box? How many think they're going to be disgruntled? How many think they're going to become silent? When we put God in a box, I'm telling you, he's trying to talk to us, but we want to hear it only in one way. I want to tell you today, God is trying to talk to you. But you have to decide, God, is that you? You've got to work through that. And so today I want to read an amazing text that shows us one of the ways that God speaks. And so why don't you go with me in 1 Kings. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord. For the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. He was just putting on a fireworks show. Creative, right? And after the fire came a gentle whisper. Say gentle whisper. That also translates into still small voice. Okay? When Elijah heard it, he pulled back his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mountain of the cave. Then a voice said to him, What are you doing here, Elijah? See, Elijah had run away because all the other prophets were being killed. And he was running and hiding because things weren't looking good for his kind. Okay? He replied, I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. And you thought you had it bad. The Lord said to him, go back the way you came. How many think that is not what he wanted to hear? Go back the way you came. Anyone ever felt a little timid, maybe a little scared, like, you know, you're worried about what's going to happen? It's not because all of your other colleagues have been killed. But then the God that you're waiting for says, go back the way you came. Whew, okay. And go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael king over Aram. Also anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel. And anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from Abel-Meholah. Come on, this is good, right? To succeed you as prophets. So how many think, man, if God would just give me instructions like that, if he would just be that instructive. First of all, it's very interesting to me that we talk about this still, small voice of God. See, we know that God is all powerful, so we always imagine he's going to come through in the earthquake. We always imagine he's going to come through in the fire. We always imagine he's going to be that audible voice that we see in the Bible, yet so few have ever heard the audible voice. It's really interesting to me that God chose to speak not with someone new that has never heard his voice. We're talking about a prophet that's heard from God a long, long time and knows how God speaks. Why on earth did God do the show? Why on earth did God still make it a still small voice that he had to lean into? These are things that I ask because I think they're things that we can gain information from about how God's trying to talk to us. And now we're going to get back into the story. My intent wasn't to dig through this whole story. It was to show you one of the ways creatively that our creative God likes to speak to us. Okay? And so, one thing I know is that God is still speaking. God is still speaking. I know between Malachi and the birth of Jesus, God didn't speak for 400 years. That's what I know. From the end of the Old Testament to when all the prophecies began to be fulfilled with the little 8-pound, 5-ounce baby Jesus lying in a manger. I'm glad that we're not in a no talk period. I'm glad that God is communicating. He is speaking. Anyone ever heard God speak to them? I have. I wish it was audibly. But nonetheless, God is speaking. And I want to tell you that he's already speaking to you. Even those that are praying, God, just speak to me. He's already speaking to you. He's already trying to communicate to you in one of the ways that he speaks. The second thing I know is that God wants us to understand. Some people think that God is so ultra creative that he never wants us fully to understand. And I know we won't fully understand till we're on the other side of heaven, okay? I get that. But what I do know is that although God likes to tell us one step without revealing all the other steps, he wants you to understand the step. Does that make sense? So God, he is communicating to you. He's already trying to communicate to you, and he wants you to understand. So what is the disconnect? Okay, God, what is it? This isn't one of my points, but perhaps it's that you didn't do the last thing he said that you knew you were supposed to do. We think that we can just, you're one of those hurdlers. You just keep running and hurtling over the last thing that you knew God wanted you to do, but you think that if you get to the next one, he'll still reveal the next step. That's not the God that I see in the scripture. Go back the way you came. There's still work to be done. There's still things that you have yet to do that I've already told you, and you know in the deep places of your heart that that was supposed to be something you did. Okay? So God is still speaking. He wants us to understand, and there are reasons sometimes why we can't understand. Look, I know that God wants us to understand because Jesus says that we are friends because he had made known to us what the Father is doing. Isn't that what the scripture says? John 15:15, I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything that I've learned from my Father, I have made known to you. If Jesus went out of his way to make sure we understood what God was saying, not just that God was speaking, then we can be sure that he still wants us to understand. Otherwise, he wouldn't have let us in the beginning. He wouldn't have brought us in the first place if he didn't want us to understand. Now, don't get me wrong. You're not going to understand everything, but you will understand. Sometimes it's something you'll understand later. Anyone had one of those 5-year later moments? And you're like, ah, oh, I get it now. God wants us to understand. He still wants to make known his directions, although they will rarely be complete. This can really irk some people. Any instruction followers, like you were just excited to sit down with IKEA furniture. You were just like, that's, you're like, ah, here we go. For those that love the full instructions in English or whatever language you're watching in, I'll tell you this. God, he will always tell you, but he's not going to reveal the whole picture, because otherwise there's no faith, or you'll be too scared to do it. Oftentimes what God's called you to is scary. It's very scary. In a good way. Have you ever received a fortune cookie and received it with half of it ripped off? Your future is looking so prepare. What? All I know is that my future is looking something, and so I better be prepared for something. And you're like, I'm never coming back to this restaurant again. God oftentimes gives us instructions where the rest isn't there, but we need to know that it's about our future and that he's preparing it. So why does he do it this way? I believe it's about faith and it's about relationship. I believe if you truly understood everything that you needed to understand, you would just begin running and you would never check back in with God. You would be so focused on getting the box checked and completing, and actually, God's about a relationship. He wants you to lean in. He wants you to have relationship. And if that means he's got to put out one breadcrumb until you come there, and then you lean into him again, and he puts out another breadcrumb until you come here. God is desperate for our relationship. That's why he sent his only son to die on a cross that we deserved. He's saying, I'll do whatever it takes, but I want real relationship. And real relationship comes from a leaning in. And I'm going to get there again. But you know what's very interesting about the still small voice we were reading about? When someone whispers something, you have to really lean in. You have to really lean in to hear what someone's saying when they whisper. And there's something else. If you ever had someone tell you a secret, whispering it in your ear, you can feel the breath. God wants to breathe on you fresh and anew every time he speaks to you, but you got to lean in. Are you getting this, church? He loves you. And he's saying, I got the answers. Shh. Come on. Just lean in. I think it's amazing that the creator of the universe would want your attention. Wow. See, God desires that we seek relationship, a calming down, a quieting down, a making time, a leaning in kind of relationship, an on purpose kind of relationship. And I could give you 100 different explanations about going to a date and not giving them your attention and everything set perfectly, but you're scrolling on your phone and the person's waiting for that intimate moment to talk to you over their linguine. I just thought of Lady and the Tramp and the, sorry. Listen, God wants relationship with you, but it's got to be purposeful, okay? So you are a unique person. I don't know if you looked in the mirror today, but you were like, hey, unique. Or maybe it's Maybelline, I don't know, but it's unique, okay? He created you the way he intended to, and in a very unique way, the way you are very different, he also speaks to you differently. Some of the most common ways God speaks to us, I'd like to identify them so that you can begin looking for when God's speaking to you. Are you ready for this? I'm pulling out letters. It's all official. A. A. His written word. His written word. We're talking about the Logos. We're talking about the written word of God, the Bible. It says this in 2 Timothy, all scripture is God breathed. Remember when I was talking about that still small voice and you actually feel the breath when someone's whispering. His word is still breathing. It is still alive. It still offers rhema word. It still gives something today that is specific for today, even though it was written thousands of years ago. The written word of God, he still speaks through it. And how many know? Very, very wise, astute people tend to not be offering many extra words. They say what they mean. They mean what they say. They often don't say it again. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Can I tell you, God has spent so much time preparing the written word that he often doesn't repeat himself. He says, get into my word so it can speak to you, because it's part of my function. It's part of my purpose for your life. If you get into my word, it's going to breathe. It's going to breathe. So that the servant of God, let me finish the scripture. I got all excited. That's what preachers do. All scripture is God breathing is useful for teaching and rebuking and correcting. And training in righteousness. So that I can feel good while I sit on the couch. So that I can feel better about my future. No. So that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Why would you need to be equipped to do good work? God, speak to me. Why? You do nothing. God, I want to hear your voice. Do something. God, I want to know what my future holds. Do you understand the decisions you make today are shaping your future? God wants to equip us for his working. He wants you to become useful vessels for him. Okay, God, I understand that my life isn't just about my roller coaster ride, looking for the next high, looking for the next exciting moment. God, what is your purpose for me? Oh, now God will speak. Because here's the thing, oftentimes, and we'll probably dig into this more next week, because this isn't probably really a 1 week thing, but listen, oftentimes we miss God speaking to us because the reason we want him to speak, he doesn't find reasonable. It's not that he won't answer you, but the reason you want the answer, he's not going to speak to. That'll get you thinking. So his written word, oftentimes we can read a scripture we have read many times before, but this time it hits us deeply and differently because the scripture is breathing. And in that day, in that moment, you needed that scripture for something very real. God is saying, hey, the way that scripture you've read 1,000 times is speaking different, why don't you have a Selah moment? Why don't you have a stop, sit, meditate, Lord, what are you trying to say to me through the scripture? Because it hit me in the forehead. It hit me pretty hard. What are you trying to say? One of my mentors that I looked to, he was telling me he was in a decision season, whether to begin building a new building or whether to pay off land at another location. And in his reading, he came across a scripture that jumped off the page to him. He'd read the scripture so many times. He said, but Chad, this time I read the scripture, it about hit me in the head. I couldn't miss it. It was a rhema word, a now word for me, a breathing, living word for me now based on what I'm going through. And know what the scripture was? Put your outdoor work in order and get your fields ready. After that, build your house. He's like, I've read this 1,000 times. And in my moment, I knew God was saying, pay off the land and we'll get to building the house after. And so he was obedient to the word that was very real to him that day. And can I tell you, if you're never in the word, you're missing a major thing that God uses to unveil his secrets to you. He doesn't want him secretive. He didn't intend for his Bible to become a coaster. Okay, I'll get a drink and let everyone just calm down. That pastor said he immediately knew that word was for him. It wasn't an old scripture anymore. In that moment, it was a rhema word. It was his marching orders. He prayed about it, and he acted on it, and God brought the funds and the field was paid off and now the building is built, and it's amazing to look back at what you're willing to do. If you're willing to say, God, speak to me, and then begin to move on that word, how God, he fills in the blanks. So be in God's word, get God's word in you, and continue to speak through his word. Have his word in you and what you speak. Ready? Another way that God speaks is through his son. His son, the living word. Capital W. We know in John 1, it says, in the beginning was the word. See, the word is capitalized. That means it was God. And the word was with God, which means now it's not God the Father, it's the other God. How can there be more than one God? There's a triune God, three parts, right? So now we're talking about Jesus. The word was with God and the word was God, and he was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was that has been made. Well, let me try that again. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. Listen to me. The living word of God, God in flesh, God incarnate, Jesus Christ, he came to reveal things to the world that have been prophesied for thousands of years prior. Jesus, when he came, he not only confounded the wise, he not only stumped the Pharisees, he spoke truths that are still speaking. You get that? And so the Spirit of God, his son, Jesus, I know you're getting confused. What about the Spirit? We'll get to the Spirit. Listen, his son, the living word. It says this in Hebrews 1. It says, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by what? His son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through him, whom he made the universe. So when we're reading, in the beginning was the word and nothing was made without him, now we're reading in Hebrews saying it was through him that he made the universe. Okay, so listen, it is the son that is continuing to speak. In John 10, it says, my sheep, Jesus said, hear my voice, and I know them and they follow me. What about the ones that aren't following him? Are they his sheep? See, maybe all these years we've just assumed everyone was a sheep because they all claim Jesus. But maybe, just maybe, his sheep are the ones that are actually following him. And the rest is a crowd. Jesus said the words in John 6:63. I included this one. Sorry, I didn't include it up there, but ready? Jesus said, the words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. This is John 6:63, if you want to go look at this. But when he said the words, he's literally referring to the rhema word, which is a specific message the Holy Spirit inspires to you personally. It's a specific word for a specific time and for a specific need. It occurs when the written or spoken word comes alive with special meaning in your situation. Are you getting this? So God's word is speaking. Jesus is still speaking. Jesus is saying, hey, and they'll know my voice. If I know it's Jesus' voice, I'm acting on it. I'm not going to question it. I'm not going to wait later to understand more. I'm going to begin stepping out in faith, saying, Jesus, you said it. And even though I don't understand it, even though my cultural opinions would prefer not to do this, I'm moving on your word. At your word. At your word. Another way, God speaking, see, through his Spirit. There's the Father, there's the Son, and there's the Holy Spirit, right? 1 Corinthians 3:16. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? The Holy Spirit is here and he's trying to be the helper and advocate that Jesus said he would be. He's trying to communicate. He's trying to nudge. He's trying to direct. He's trying to lead. That's why we say, Holy Spirit, lead me. That's why we sing about it. That's why we pray about it. Because he leads through communicating what is the will, the perfect will of God. And don't act like you want to hear God's word when you don't want to do God's will. When we're not willing to do God's will, we're not even open to hear his word. When people refer to God's whisper, again, remember, it's a gentle nudge within them that directs and leads us. Going back to that first Kings, it says, after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mountain of the cave. It was a whisper. It was, I believe, God speaks. You know, every time it says God speaks, it doesn't mean he audibly spoke. It meant it was communicated what he was doing. So I believe when I'm reading this stuff, not every time it says it happened like this, it just means that was the communication. It doesn't mean that was the vehicle of how it happens. It could have been very well the Holy Spirit whispering. Have you ever heard the Holy Spirit whisper to you? Oh, you know what I'm talking about, because if you didn't do it, you felt sick. You just felt like, oh, how did I miss it? I should have done that. I need to go back to that person. I need to talk to that person. I need to invite that person. I don't know. That's how it works for me. But listen, a gentle whisper, again, it translates literally to a still small voice. So God loves to whisper, because to hear a whisper, one must lean in. I know, I got ahead of myself. Sorry. But John 14 says this, the Spirit of truth, see the capital S, referring to God, the Spirit. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. This is Jesus speaking. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. He lives with you and will be in you. That's why Jesus said, it's better that I leave so that the Holy Spirit comes so that he can dwell in you, not just be with you, so that now he can lead you and nudge you and direct you daily where you are. See, that's why so many people were so excited whenever they saw the Ark of the Covenant coming, because they knew the Spirit was coming, and with the Spirit came direction and power. Now that has the ability to live in you. There's far of you too interested, I guess, in the scary parts of Acts 2. But having the Holy Spirit as an overflow, whew, I wouldn't want to miss out on that one, church. So don't discount the whisper or the nudging of the Spirit. God is trying to communicate you to you. The Holy Spirit is our helper and advocate. Look, many of us oftentimes can write it off as a simple conscience, but God uses the conscience. God speaks through the conscience. If it's affirming what is good and godly, it wasn't simply your conscience. It was God speaking. It was his whispering. It was the Holy Spirit leading you. And oftentimes this comes when we start to begin feeling convicted about something we know we shouldn't have done, or we know we shouldn't do in the places we shouldn't go. We begin to feel what we think is just conscience convicting us, but it's God speaking. The Holy Spirit directing and nudging and moving you away from danger and towards his purpose, which is a different kind of danger. D, his disciples. I'm gonna have to finish here, apparently. The Bible tells us as iron sharpens iron, so a brother or sister sharpens another. So we can speak God's word and sharpen each other. Oftentimes we can actually be in a conversation and somebody is speaking God's words to us. Julie had recently had a conversation on the phone with a friend in ministry in another state. And while talking about a few topics with her friend, we'll call her Susie. Susie said a few things that weren't really completely on topic, but it immediately hit Julie in her spirit that God was speaking to her through this conversation, through another woman of God who didn't understand the magnitude of what seemed to be a simple conversation, but literally gave Julie marching orders. See, what's amazing is God will use you as his vessel, not just to do things through, but also to speak through, becoming a mouthpiece for God. That's amazing. And people are used all the time by God to speak through, whether it's through sermons or through writings or through songs. God will use people to continue to be his mouthpiece. 1 Peter 4:11 says, if anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. What does that mean? Be careful how you speak. Use your words powerfully. Make sure they're encouraging. Make sure they're building up, not tearing down. Unless they're tearing down evil, then don't be apologetic. Another version says that that word, if anyone speaks, that speaks literally translates to oracles. Oh, we're talking about the Matrix? No. Oracle means a spokesperson or a mouthpiece of. So if anyone is going to be the mouthpiece, If anyone is going to be the spokesperson, make sure that they're the very words of God. You got to know the word to speak the word, church. And I'll tell you right now, God wants to use you in amazing ways. And so often we're so focused on, God, are you speaking to me? We need to say, God, speak through me today. God, use me today. Let me be your mouthpiece today. Let me speak encouraging words. Let me lift someone up. Let me pull someone out of the pit through your words, because it's not me pulling them out. It's your words through me lifting them up out of the miry clay and putting them on their feet back on the rock. God, let me be a lifter of heads. Because when we start desiring to speak for God, we normally start to hear a lot more from him so that we can speak it true.
We hope you've enjoyed this teaching from Metro Church.